It's like the shrieking donkey. I need a hug. Yeah, I need a hug. Yes. See what I have to do? Yeah. So, the passage of Scripture is the same today as yesterday's. But yesterday, I missed a verse. So, now I have to read the whole thing all over again. So, we're going to be reading together from Luke 2, from verse 8. It's the well-known, it's the Annunciation and then sort of Mary. So, hopefully, we read all the verses today. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God, the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to the men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And I think this is the last verse. This is the word of God for today. Now, I don't know if you know this, but in the church we celebrate, well, some of you only come on Christmas days to church, so that's you might know this. But in church we celebrate two major events. We celebrate Easter and then we celebrate Christmas. Those are two major celebrations. Easter is where we stop and we look at what God has done, but Christmas is where we stop and we look at who He is. And so what I thought I would do this morning is I'll give you the essence of Christmas. And the essence of Christmas is this. If you look at who Jesus is, it's the Word became flesh, God stepping into our world, God coming for us. Amen. That's the sermon. I hope you have a beautiful day with your family, because you can't say more than this. Not really. I mean to say it's the way that it is. Now, I know all the visitors, the people who brought friends along, they go like, don't worry, it's There's more to come. But I'll give those who want to go home, I will give you an opportunity to leave, because that is the essence of Christmas. But the catch or the question or the thing that always strikes me about Christmas is that we know this, but we don't always know this. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, how do we make this become real? How does the fact that when we look at Jesus, Jesus became flesh. Flesh. He stepped into our world. God Himself came for us. He came running, in a sense, to us. How does that become real? How does God's world become real in our world? Because if we're honest about it, you know, Christmas can come and go, but it doesn't really impact us that much, other than if you really got nice gifts. You know, then at least I bought my girls two gifts, which I think we had a budget. I think they will last about 2.5 to 3 minutes, and then they'll be broken because we had a very small budget. But you know, if you, the lucky one that got a proper gift, you'll probably remember the Christmas. But God stepping into our world, how does that become real? You know, What do we learn from this story of the shepherds and Mary that makes this become real? And it's actually, if that is a question that you've wondered about, congratulations, but the problem starts with the shepherds, if you think about it. Because the shepherds sitting there minding their own business, and then the angels appear. So the shepherds have got the angels, you know, terrifying experience, scared straight out of their minds. What do we get? We get the shepherds. We get their story. They get the angels. We get the shepherds. Now, for those of you who've been to any Christmas service in the last 10 years, you would know that the shepherds had no credibility. They had no social standing. Along with women, strangely enough, they were not allowed to testify in court. They were just not allowed. They were, people looked at the shepherds and said, no, these guys, they lie. They're not trustworthy witnesses. So when the shepherds went out and they started telling the story, chaps, we saw angels and this is what the angels saw and told us, and we went there and we found the baby and all those type of things. People who were amazed, who marveled at what they said, had to look past the packaging. You know, they had to look past that, who's bringing the message. And that is something that we all struggle with. You know, if somebody comes and he speaks to you and he tells you what you should or shouldn't do, then is it not true that most of us go like, who does this guy think he is? You know, or it's like when a fat person gives you advice about exercise. You know, it's we look at the packaging and we go like, yeah, well, I can speak from experience. You know, I've just tried about every single exercise program and diet there is, and I failed miserably. So what can I say? I can tell you what not to do, not what to do. But the reality of it is we look at the packaging. We look at the packaging, and then we decide on the message based on the packaging. But what the people and Mary and everybody in the story had to do is they had to listen past the packaging. They had to listen not for what was being said, but they had to listen for God. They had to try and find out, okay, what is God saying in this? Especially Mary, if you look at how she responded to this. And that is the challenge. If we want to see God become real in our lives, if we want to have the full impact of Christmas in our lives, then what do we have to do is not just to listen, but you and I have to listen for God. We have to try and hear what he's saying. And for instance, you all took the time to come here this morning and you're all neatly dressed and it's beautiful and it's nice and you smell nice, most of you. Anyway, but in this hour that you gave from your life, there's a lot happening. We sang songs, and, you know, you're listening to my amazing sermon. But the reality of it, yeah, I can see some of you smiling, go like, no, it's not that. Yeah, but somewhere in this time, it's a thought, or it might be a sense of awareness that comes, but somewhere here, there is a weightiness, something that strikes you. You might be singing the song, and the next moment you go like, you know, the lyric of the verse strikes you, and it touches your heart. That is what you want after. That is what you want. You want that weightiness of when God speaks, despite the messenger, despite the packaging. That is what you're after, because God wants to speak, and he does speak. He speaks through the Bible. He speaks through our problems, circumstances, and through broken people. But if you and I look at the problem or the person or just the 5 minutes, one paragraph, I love this. It's an old preacher that I heard years ago. He was using the example of Windows 6.1. He said, he dated his time. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't even remember Windows 6.1, but that was the example he used. He said, for you that work on PCs, okay, how far do you think you will come if you take the manual for Windows 6.1 and read one paragraph of it a day for 5 minutes? How long will it take you to understand the operating system? And I'm sitting there, I'm figuring, I know one person who will read a manual, and that's my eldest daughter. I don't know anybody else who will read a manual. The rest, phone a friend or Google or do something. But the guy's point was, his point was, is that, listen here, when it comes to God, his world becoming reality in our lives, we actually have to look past the packaging. And that requires effort. I mean, say even the Bible is packaged in a human wrapping, if you like. It's people who wrote it in a specific context. And you and I have to fight. We have to dig. We have to go and search for it. We have to listen for God if we want his kingdom, his world, him stepping into our lives to become a reality. And that's the first thing that is really important. You have to look past the packaging, but then you look at the message. Now, I don't know if you've just, when you read it, did you see the angel's song differ from what we used to? Because normally we think about what the angels announced like a world competition, world peace, you know. Glory to God and peace to all men. That's how we normally hear that thing. But it's actually not there. It's not what was written there. And that's why the NIV was actually quite a good translation there. The angels came and they say, glory to God in the highest and peace to those among men whom God favors. Slightly different. It's not this blanket statement. Peace to those among men that God favors. Now, when it comes to peace, most of us think about peace as inner calmness, you know, sort of like a Zen type thing. Your house blows up or the dog bites you, but you're calm. That's how we think about peace. But it's actually not there. Because if you read that verse, it's peace between men and God. And that, if you think about it, you go like, oh, why? Well, come again. That doesn't make sense. Most of us would actually sort of contend that, listen, yeah, I was not at war with God, but I maybe indifferent. I ignored him for a long time. Didn't want to follow his ways, those type of things. But you know, like what Paul says, well, that while we were yet his enemies, Christ died for us. I think that's just a bit of a strong metaphor. Actually, it's not the case. Like I said yesterday, we are constantly battling God for his job. From Adam and Eve's time, we always want to take God's job. Like, for instance, you know those people that you can't forgive? You know, those people? Actually, what you're doing is you're taking God's job as judge. And you're pronouncing the judgment. You're saying, no, sorry. I've made the judgment here. They're not worthy of forgiveness. Therefore, see, I'm taking your job. When you get angry about when life happens, and you're like, God, life is supposed to be different. How could you allow this? When that happens, guess what you're doing? You're taking his job as sovereign Lord. You know, when you work so hard just to make sure that there's enough money and everything can be sorted, that life can be saved, then you're actually taking his job as savior. And there's always been this constant battle, and it rages to this day for all of us, fighting God for his job. We want to be in control. We want to be the one who do all these things. And the angels come and they announce to these shepherds and say to them, because of something that happened, now there's peace. And this will be the sign for you. You'll find something not theoretical, something very, very real. It's not like a hologram of a baby. You'll find an actual baby born in a stable. So they got up and they went and they had a look. And what is the amazing part for us is this. If you want God and His world, His kingdom, to become real in your world, then there's only one foundation for peace. And that foundation is Jesus. And not in a spiritual, etherical, mystical way. It's something that God did way before you could do anything wrong. 2,000 years ago, God became flesh. He stepped into our world. It's something that historically happened. And that event, the fact that Jesus was born, is the foundation of our peace. The fact that in Him, there's no more war between us and God. Does that make sense? Now, last thing. You see two responses. So you've got on the one side, okay, listen, ignore the packaging or listen for God, okay? You've got, there's one foundation for peace, okay? And it's not this internal state. It's peace between heaven and earth, between you and God. There is peace now because of Jesus. Out of it might flow the internal peace. But the internal peace is not the one that was initially bought. It's peace between heaven and earth. Okay? Now, we get to respond. And you'll see two kinds of responses there. You'll first see the people and then Mary. The people were amazed. They marveled. And not like the movies. They marveled. They were like, oh, serious? There was a baby? Angels? Oh, we didn't see them. Oh, that's awesome. That's a fantastic. Yo. Yeah, well, you're a shepherd and you smell, but okay, whatever. You know, that's amazing that God would tell you. And you say the baby was born? They were amazed. And then they went and they bought milk at the shop. Just went on with life. They were like, oh, really? And went on with life. Okay? Mary pondered, according to the NIV, and she kept it in her heart, what was said by the shepherds. The word pondered there means to consider, to converse. So she took what was said to her, told to her by the angels. She took that and she thought, she tried to connect the dots, trying to figure this thing out. But then she talked about it. She's like, I wonder, the angels, you know, they said peace, you know. And she spoke, she conversed about it. Because in the community, in this talking about what has God spoken to you, there's something of it that gets solidified, that drops from your head into your heart, where it becomes something that is there, that lives here. And then the word for she kept it actually means to defend. As she considered it, as she thought, she sought understanding, connected the dots, and spoke about it. It dropped in her heart, but once it was there, she defended it. She defended what God had said through to the shepherds, through the angels. She defended it. And 40 years, 50 years later, when Luke came to her and said to her, well, tell me about the birth of Jesus, she could take out what she had kept there all those years and share it with him. God's kingdom becomes real when you and I listen for God. Listen, when we do the hard work to ignore the packaging, but to listen for Him in our problems, in our circumstances, through the scriptures, through the people around us. When we listen, when we try actively to hear Him, when we understand that, listen, yeah, now that He is Jesus is Lord. He's the foundation for the peace that we've got now, that there's no more a fight between heaven and earth. When that becomes our foundation, and when we take what God has spoken to us and we consider it, we wrestle with it, we speak about it, and then we keep it in our hearts, that is when the kingdom of heaven comes into our world and changes our world in a very, very real way. You won't believe me, but in February, we would have been here 10 years. We're part of the furniture now, officially. But we moved into this house. We stay in the ugliest house in Bloemfontein. But we moved into this house, and the first thing my wife did in the house was not do the make the garden or start a garden. She painted on the walls. And what she painted on the walls was Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the issues of life. When you and I listen for God, when we understand that Jesus is the foundation, and we keep that, we defend what he says, we keep it in our hearts, out of that, according to Solomon, life flows. And you begin to see how God's kingdom becomes real in your life. The good news of today's is this. 2,000 years ago, God came for you. He came for you 2,000 years ago. Today, God comes for you. Tomorrow, he will come for you. Jesus stepped into our world. Our response is to listen, to make sure we've got the foundation, and then to keep it in our hearts. Does that make sense? I want to propose to you, that's how you have a Merry Christmas. Yeah. When you begin to see and live that God actually operates in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you're a mighty God and we love you. Thank you for stepping into our worlds, Lord. Thank you for the shepherds and thank you that we can learn from that story, that not only do we hear the message of who you are, the God who steps into our world, the God who comes for us with comfort and love and abundance and provision and all the good things with your peace, but Lord, also that you're the God who came to seek us, the lost, that you stepped into our world, became flesh. There's so much comfort in that truth. But Lord, as we come before you this morning, and as we're going to go out of here and celebrate time with friends and family, and as we're going to just slow down, Lord, give us the grace to listen for you. Lord Jesus, make us aware that you are the foundation of the peace between heaven and earth, between us and God. And Lord, give us the ability, the awareness to treasure what you say to us, to keep that in our hearts, to defend it, but to allow that to shape our lives in ways that will see you, your glory, come in and through us, your overness, your too muchness flow in and through our lives, into our city, into our nation. We trust you for that, and we thank you for today, that we can celebrate today. Thank you for being our God. Praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen.